Working Trail Crew, summer of 1955, in the Yosemite Sierra. I wrote this poem about putting away the hay for the winter for the stock, hay for the horses. He had driven half the night from far down San Joaquin through Mariposa up the dangerous mountain roads and pulled in at 8 a.m. with his big truckload of hay behind the barn. With winch and ropes and hooks, we stacked the bales up clean to splintery redwood rafters high in the dark, flecks of alfalfa whirling through shingle cracks of light, itch of hay dust in the sweaty shirt and shoes. At lunchtime, under black oak, out in the hot corral, the old mare nosing lunch pails, grasshoppers crackling in the weeds. I'm 68, he said. I first bucked hay when I was 17. I thought that day I started, I sure would hate to do this all my life. And damn it, that's just what I've gone and done. That is my most anthologized poem. Everybody understands it. It's great. Kids understand it even.
A feeling and a thought. So what is it like to feel a thought? How does a thought feel? Or on the other hand, how does a feeling think? All right, this word, although not much in use today, sentiment, is a word that's supposed to bring those two things together. Now, when we come to Snyder, how we behave in the world, we generally talk about ideas, and we talk about action or doing. Now, Snyder is not interested in ideas alone. He's not interested in actions alone. He's interested in practice, that is, ideas acted. In the first week in May, 1956, he got on a boat in San Francisco Harbor and took off for Japan. This astounded most of his friends. It would be as if someone, just after the Berlin Wall fell, said, I am leaving Berlin and I'm going to Tibet to study Buddhism. You're doing what? Things are just opening up, right? Snyder's friend said to him, look, the walls of the Eisenhower complacency are falling. For heaven's sakes, stay here, join us. I think Snyder had a very interesting vision at that point. He knew that long-term change comes about as a result of a disciplined, sustained practice, way of behaving in the world. And therefore, if Buddhism is going to be the model, he needed to go where the Buddhists naturally are. If you're talking about Snyder as a poet, I think this is one of his supreme accomplishments. He developed a style of writing that was in harmony with his style of life. I variously call this style a walking style, a hiking style, a running style, or even a rip-rap style. What I'd like to do at this point is read a couple of poems that illustrate this style. Both of these poems are from the first volume of poetry that Snyder published called Rip Rap and Other Poems. And the title of the first poem is Water. And it describes a hike. And what I want to claim is that the way the poetry is written is, in a sense, in a hiking rhythm. Pressure of sun on the rock slide whirled me in dizzy hop and step descent. Pool of pebbles buzzed in a juniper shadow. Tiny tongue of a this-year rattlesnake flicked. I leaped, laughing for little boulder color coil. Pounded by heat, raced down the slabs to the creek, deep tumbling under arching walls, and stuck whole head and shoulders in the water. Stretched full on cobble, ears roaring, eyes open, aching from the cold, and faced a trout. Now, the end of the poem is also important. It's the end of the journey. the end of the journey in this particular poem, a kind of cross-species communication between trout and human. Gary Snyder is a poet very closely associated with the environmental movement. He is considered by virtually everyone in the movement to be one of the spiritual fathers.
I think that he's been a good spokesman and a good leader for helping the environmental movement to refocus on how communities of people survive and sustain themselves, rather than just simply how individuals go out and enjoy nature.
Well, in San Francisco, certainly, this is where they were. And people here in the city, especially the young people, are very much interested in the hippie period from the 60s and 70s. And of course, he was one of the preeminent participants in that. On the shelf, you can see we have paperbacks, Rip Rap and Cold Mountain Poems, for instance. Men ask the way to Cold Mountain. Cold Mountain, there's no through trail. In summer, ice doesn't melt. The rising sun blurs in swirling fog. Oh, well, something like this would be a couple dollars. But if you really want to see something of Gary Snyder's that's of value, I can take you right over here. Now, here's where we have our best literature. We call this the locked lit case. And here we have what's called the Wooden Fish. This is a book published in Japan. It's bound with string. You can see that it's published by the Zen Institute, and it's only worth $650. This is Gary Snyder's rarest book, and they were published in Japan, and so probably those reaching America are very few in number. And because Snyder is one of the preeminent counterculture poets, sky's the limit.
I'd like you to pay particular attention to the very short lines and the way in which words are almost put on the page and said as if they were rocks laid out on a trail to facilitate walking. Burning the small dead branches broke from beneath thick spreading white bark pine. 100 summers, snowmelt, rock, and air hiss in a twisted bough. Sierra granite, Mount Ritter, black rock twice as old. Deneb, Altair, windy fire.
He and others who have focused on what we produce and how we live have made me think in a very conscious way of what I produce as an individual, what kinds of foods I might pick, the packaging that might be around them. I become aware of those things. I become much more aware of things like recycling, making sure I recycle whatever I can, not consuming more than is necessary.
How poetry comes to me. It comes blundering over the boulders at night. It stays frightened outside the range of my campfire. I go to meet it at edge of the light.
He's able to express in person a tremendous joy with seeing the natural world, with seeing the outdoor world, which comes through in reading his poetry, of course. But more than that, he taught me about how the world is so interrelated, and that how in writing, often the words, the sounds, the lines, and so on are also part of this very complex ecological construction, is very similar to the natural world. So it's not so much loving what you see in the world, it's seeing how things fit together. I understand that everything in the natural world is connected to everything else, and I never thought about that before I met Gary. You can read about it, but knowing him, you see someone actually living in the natural world intimately and lovingly.
Song of the Taste. This is about the food we eat. Eating the living germs of grasses, rice, and wheat, eating the ova of large birds, the fleshy sweetness packed around the sperm of swaying trees, apples, the muscles of the flanks and thighs of soft-voiced cows, the bounce in the lamb's leap, the swish in the ox's tail, eating roots grown swole inside the soil, drawing on life of living, clustered points of light spun out of space, hidden in the grape. Eating each other's seed, eating each other. Kissing the lover in the mouth of bread.